You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
You can probably hear the crowd. We are recording at the 2025 LC-MES Youth Gathering in New Orleans, and we get to sit down with a couple of presenters at the gathering. And joining us on the KFUO stage right now is the Reverend Dr. Scott Stigemeyer, Professor of Theology, Church History, and Bioethics at Concordia University, Irvine. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, man. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for mentioning it.
Yeah.
Inviting me.
Yeah. And you've already presented several times today. So
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks for coming to talk some more.
No. I mean, I'm done, actually. It's over. But
yeah.
I spoke 8 times. I know that a lot of them are doing that, but wow, he's out.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like back to back, so like
yeah.
3 in a row.
And yeah, that's good. And
yeah,
we'll
yeah.
talk about okay. your presentation topics in just a second. But first, what have you experienced at Gathering so far this year?
Well, you know, I've never been to the Gathering as a speaker. I have
yeah.
been otherwise. And so I've just been soaking it up. It's just so nice. I have seen a lot of my students here and a lot of mm. former students here. Plus, it's all the pastors I know from all over and back in time. And so that's the best part for me. I mean, there's the exciting mass events. There's plenty of great speakers, but I haven't had a chance to take in any other speakers just because I'm so busy. But I love the kind of reunion and meeting people and
yeah.
re-meeting people. That's super fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
How do you see this, the youth gathering, as a valuable experience?
Well, I mean, like, for instance, there's all this great content, all this biblical Christianity being taught in all these, I mean, I guess hundreds of sectionals,
mm-hmm.
plus the Bible studies and the mass events and the sermons, etc. I mean, for some students, for a lot of these students, this might be the first time they're really getting a lot of in-depth teaching on the gospel and who Jesus is and how our faith interacts with all the things in their lives, because a lot of the topics that these speakers have to do with daily stuff, mental health, diversity, being a good witness, but a lot of it's Bible study directly, the book of Hebrews and other things like that, lots of topics. So I think they're enriched. I think if they're here to participate, they're just going to be just well catechized, and it's exciting.
Yeah, and you get to be one of those presenters.
I have tried. Yeah.
Yeah?
I spoke 8 times.
8 times. You have 2 different topics, male and female gender in the light of God's word, and Christianity, disability, and our own personal Easter. Let's talk about the first one, male
okay.
and female gender in the light of God's word. What are you talking about the students in this sectional? What kinds of things are you sharing with them?
Well, so I spoke on that 4 times, Sarah, and it changed each time a little.
Yeah.
Based on the energy in the room and the kind of questions and feedback I got. So I've talked about gender and sex and sexuality and transgender
mm-hmm.
in many contexts. I've written about it. So this is material that I'm comfortable speaking with about.
Yeah.
And I figured out the other day, though, I've spoken to many pastors' conferences. I've talked on KFUO with Sarah. Mm-hmm. I've talked to faculty, pastors, DCEs, deaconesses many times. But I realized the one segment of the world that I've never governed the transgender or gender presentation to are high school students. And so in the students that are here, it's not like talking to a room full of LC-MES pastors where there may be questions and maybe a little pushing here or there. But, you know, I knew coming in, this is a topic that can be very personal and can affect, you know, their friends or their selves or family members. It can be tied to a lot of emotion and even pain. And so standing in front of 200 students that I've never met before to talk about male and female gender in light of God's word. So I just start out. I mean, I just start talking about what does it mean to be created as a man and a woman, and what are the intentions for God for how men and women relate and marriage and go with that, and how the message is beautiful. And we don't just necessarily have to start with law when we're engaging the culture with the various moral and ethical dilemmas, but let's talk about the beauty of the promises and God's creation and how wonderful that is. It's more, it'll draw people to ask questions, I think. So I try to give the students, but also on the side, any of the adult leaders that are there, maybe some tips and some ideas about how to speak faithfully about some of the issues and problems that come up about gender, particularly transgender seems to be the most volatile one that comes up. I didn't talk about that one as much in all of them. And again, somewhat dependent on the questions. But, you know, I have my outline, I have a map, and I have a destination. but you know, I can kind of tell sometimes by what's grabbing people. Any speaker can do that.
Yeah.
But So, yeah, I mean, basically I start with what the Bible says about male and female.
What did you learn from the students you were presenting to? What are the questions they brought cause you to think more about the topic?
Yeah, I got some really great questions. It's clear to me that a lot of these high school students already know stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know necessarily what stuff they know or have been taught, but they were aware of some of the vocabulary that 10 or 15 years ago was just not that well known by anybody. Mm-hmm. And so I could tell that they, at least a lot of them, the ones who did speak, they were fairly well informed. And so they asked questions, part of it was just simply, what do you say to someone who tells you that they're experiencing this feeling that they belong in another body? Do you tell them just to bottle it up? You know, and so it sounds like someone's challenging me, and I don't really know where they were coming from, but it gives me the great entrance to be able to talk about, well, you know, let's do this in a gospel way, right? We want to preach the law as appropriate when necessary, but maybe we can also talk about the goodness of our bodies and why, ask questions. Why is someone experiencing a sense of misalignment between their sense of themselves, you know, like their psyche as male or female, and their objective body? Try to find out what they're thinking and experiencing. And so I was able to kind of navigate a few of those type of questions with the students. Sometimes they wanted to talk about something related but not the same. Like they wanted to talk about intersex, or they wanted to talk about same-sex marriage. Because I make a comment or something, you can't talk about gender and not get into all those things. You got 200 teams. So those are the kind of questions that challenged me a bit to try to think, how do we respond to? And I've been thinking about this a long time, but, you know, when you got like a minute to answer a question, and it's a sensitive one, you know, you try to hit the high points.
Yeah, and you talked with us a little bit. Well, I shouldn't say a little bit. It was like an hour and a half on the Ladies' Lounge. There's an episode. We can link it in the show notes for this episode if our listeners want to hear more about our conversation about transgenderism on the Lutheran Ladies' Lounge. It was an excellent conversation. So, because we can't cover it all here.
Of course,
either.
Of course. No, I really enjoyed that conversation, so it'd be great to link to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So your second presentation, Christianity, Disability, and Our Own Personal Easter. What was this one about?
So as a bioethicist, I talk about and think about all aspects of life in the body and healthcare and medicine. And lately, I've been reading about disability ethics and attitudes that people have towards those who live with disabilities. And we know that Jesus performed all these healing miracles. The blind could see, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk. But does that kind of, one of the theological questions that comes up is, are we actually sending the signal when we talk about healing and that, you know, yeah, you're in a wheelchair, but you're not quite right. You know, there's something not quite right with you. And I get that feedback. I hear from people that's like, yeah, people think they're, saying something good. So sometimes, and this is what I try to work on, sometimes people hear the stories of the scripture and the promises of the resurrection as, you know, the term ableism, that you're shaming the sick or you're shaming the disabled or those who are chronically ill by saying, oh, they got to be fixed. So how do I come in and say, well, let's, I want to treat you with humanity and we're going to see each other as humanity, but also talk about the great promise of eternal life where we will be, our bodies will be able to function as the Creator intended. So, I mean, that's the general gist of it.
Yeah.
Why were these topics important to you?
Well, I mean, these are things I talk about a lot. Lately, the disability one has been more on my mind, and that's because I did a lecture and recently wrote an article that was just now in today's the current Concordia Theological Quarterly. I like to find ways to bring the humanities, right, the arts and literature, into teaching ethics. And because teaching ethics is about human life, and I think the arts can tell us a lot about, well, humanities tell us about humanity. And so I was working through an American author named Flannery O'Connor, a Christian woman who lived with lupus and wrote some stories that a lot of people find very hard and challenging and shocking even. But I've really been studying that and her nonfiction, her letters and her essays and so forth. But I've kind of figured out what I think she's saying, where the gospel is found and how she's leading us to see the light, even though the story seems so dark. And so I have framed that. And what is she saying? What is the lesson? One lesson she says that disability and illness teaches us. She says that illness is a great teacher. And she says it teaches us or reminds us of something that's always been true, even before the fall. And that is that we're limited. We have limitations. She says, limitation is the gateway to reality. When we think of ourselves as totally autonomous, or we think of ourselves as masters of our fate and in control of our lives, which in America, that's a very much a part of our ethic and lifestyle. Disease and disability can teach us that we are actually interdependent. We are dependent beings, and that's good. That's not bad. That's not a weakness. We are dependent on each other and on God, of course. Mm-hmm. And so her stories are really attempts for her to puncture this self-righteousness and get to the grit of our need for a creator and a redeemer. And so it's through her that I've been start thinking about how to talk about disability in a Christian way.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fascinating. I want to have another conversation about that.
We could talk about Flannery O'Connor sometime.
In a future episode of something, somewhere.
Yes, sounds good.
Are there things that you're going to be bringing back with you? I know the school year will be starting up in a little bit, going back to the classroom. Are there things that you're going to be taking back from here and maybe shaping the way that you teach some things moving forward, just from things that you've heard from students?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's always good to get various experiences. And like I said, some of these issues I've talked to college students about, but mostly my college students who take these sorts of classes and are in these lectures are like church work students.
Right.
So I'm not getting a lot of, you know, challenge, maybe some. What I've enjoyed about this is I feel like I, you know, get a little bit more of a slice of what, you know, the average teenagers are thinking.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've had a teenager living in my house.
Yeah, right.
And so, I mean, that's been fun, but the energy has been really kind of exciting. And I'll say this, speaking to and looking at a lot of the speakers and presenters and programmers, but seeing a lot of the youth and talking to them and the volunteers, and maybe, you know, tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I'm optimistic. I mean, these, you know, I'm realistic. I know God's, you know, whatever the world is, it is. But a lot of these students, they really make me feel optimistic for the future of the church. I see some really solid talent and interest in theology, not just sort of superficiality ministry. They're asking really serious questions, hard questions, but with an open mind and humbleness. So it makes me feel good about the future, not just church workers, but lay leaders too. And so I hope things like this, and there are other things like this event too, that can continue to feed and nurture and catechize and shape our young people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've seen the same thing talking to a lot of the youth. It's been really great.
Very encouraging. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Reverend Dr. Scott Stigemeyer, Professor of Theology, Church History, and Bioethics at Concordia University, Irvine. Thanks so much for joining us on the Coffee Hour.
So happy to do it. Thank you for the opportunity.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
The Concordia University System is comprised of 5 universities of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Located across the United States, the universities offer more than 160 undergraduate and 50 graduate programs and approach learning from a Lutheran context with the goal of developing Christian leaders for the church, community, and the world. Learn more about your Concordia University System at cus.edu. The Concordia University System, education built on God's Word. cus.edu.